Hey there, teachers, and welcome to Lit Pro, the podcast for high school English teachers in Northside ISD right here in San Antonio, Texas. I'm your host, Barbara Bloomingdale, Academic Technology IST for High School ELA. In each episode, we are going to delve into the concepts and skills your students will explore in your courses. We will share lesson ideas and best practices for each unit, and we will talk with teachers from Northside campuses about what works best in their classrooms. Joining us today are Tracy Winstead and Tony Pettis from the High School ELA office.
Hi, I'm Tony Pettis, High School ELA IST.
And I'm Tracy Winstead, the Instructional Specialist for High School ELA.
So we've been talking to a lot of the teachers around the district, and one of the questions that comes up a lot is really about the college prep class that we have here in Northside. If you're teaching senior English in Northside, chances are you're also pulling some kind of college prep duty. And it's a class that I think people need to kind of wrap their minds around because it's a hybrid course. We've got a lot of different demands that are placed on us as college prep teachers and for our college prep students. I know the year that I taught it in Northside was the first year we were offering college prep, and we really struggled to understand what exactly was expected of us and of our kids. So why don't we start with that? What is college prep exactly? Tracy, what's the kind of intent behind the class?
Well, I think one of the things that makes it confusing is that it has changed several times over the years. So not only since you taught it, but it's sort of gone back and forth in different ways. And so what we really want to talk about today is what is it now, and what does it mean, and what students are we serving? And I would like to just start by saying it is such a great opportunity. When I think about the class that really serves our kids and serves those students who may not be college ready, but do want to go to college, this is the class that keeps them from having to go into remedial courses. And I'm very excited about it. But it is a difficult course. So the truth of the matter is that at Northside, our college prep classes are filled as a hybrid. So in other words, students are getting the English 4 high school credit at the same time that they're getting the college prep credit. Now, the reason we went back to this, so Barbara, when you first taught it, that's the way it was. But okay. The reason we went back to that had to do with the endorsements. So as you guys know, House Bill 5 in 2013 was what changed everything for us in terms of the course sequence that kids take, and it introduced those endorsements. And unfortunately, they left off college prep is a course that could be used for the multidisciplinary endorsement, which is what so many of our students are getting. And so once we discovered that students couldn't get the multidisciplinary endorsement if they were just taking college prep, we went back to the hybrid. And so that's what we have today. And that, I think, is why people get a little confused as to what are we really supposed to be covering in this course.
But what would you say are the big benefits for them when they take this class?
So the main benefit is that if the students are successful in this class with earning a 75 and then being successful with the 3 required essays, and we'll talk a little bit about that later, they then receive an exemption from the TSI. So this means that they are deemed college ready and can go to any school that accepts the TSI as proof of college readiness. And so what often happens, the way this really translates, is that students who, say, want to go to Northwest Vista and they are not deemed college ready through their SAT scores or TSI scores, they are often put into remedial English classes.
Right.
This, by successfully completing this course, what it says is the course completion is the marker for college readiness. So just completing the course, they go right into an English, 1301.
Right? Yeah. One of the other benefits of taking this class specifically in Northside is that some other districts run it more as a test prep course. So they're just drill and kill, preparing kids for TSI. But we believe in authentic instruction, a blended instruction in Northside. So we're thinking more about peer feedback, teacher feedback, multiple writing opportunities, a much more organic and natural way of looking at becoming better writers than preparing for the TSI exam.
Right. Because those remedial classes are just a killer. So if a kid is placed in a remedial English class in college, they have to pay for it. They still get charged tuition and fees, but it doesn't count towards their degree plan. And so they end up sort of cycling through these remedial classes without actually making any advancements toward their degree program.
And for a lot of kids, it's the real reason they are not able to finish college in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So it is really a remarkable opportunity to for these students. And I'm very excited that a lot of campuses are trying to emphasize college prep again.
And so, Tony, like you were saying, the whole purpose of this is to get kids some experience with the kinds of writing that they're going to be expected to do in college, to get them thinking about some more sophisticated ideas and looking at more advanced text and just getting them ready for those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, and I'm glad you said college, because we're talking about college in the global sense, any discipline they go into, not like English majors. So we're not talking about necessarily writing literary analysis all the time. We're talking about working on expository skills, argument skills, how to embed research, just how to be able to reach your audience and achieve your purpose in a way that's going to make an impact for your reader.
So I guess the question is, who are these kids?
You know,
who are the kids that should be in college prep? Because that's also another aspect of the course that needs we definitely need to pay attention to. So the course is really designed for those students who are STAR passers. And the reason we say they need to have passed STAR is that if a student is a senior and has not passed STAR, then that's the part that really needs to be taken care of.
That's the priority.
Yeah, it's the priority.
Okay.
And the other aspect is that the college prep course is going to be moving along at a pretty quick clip. And we want to make sure that students that are in the course are able to do the coursework. So it's very important to make sure that the students that are in your college prep classes are STAR passers. But they also, it's designed for those students who have not hit that college ready mark, either through their TSI or SAT or even their STAR scores.
Right.
So those are the kids. And, you know, that's a lot of our students. And so I think it's important to make sure that the right students are in place and that we're doing the right kinds of instruction like Tony was just talking about.
So I'm sort of like a good gen ed on grade levels kid who's been taking, you know, maybe probably regular classes. I'm thinking I want to go to college down the line, but I didn't take HD. I'm not in AP, but I need some kind of preparation for what's coming for me next. That's the kind of kid we're looking to hook for college prep.
Absolutely. Or that college bound kid that English just isn't his or her thing,
right. Mm-hmm.
You know, but they will be reading and writing in college and are going to need some special focus on those skills.
Okay. So we said that one of the benefits of the course is that the kids get their TSI credit through college prep. How does that work exactly? At the end of the year or at the end of the semester, how do I know that I've received my TSI credit?
Yeah, so it is kind of a complicated thing. First of all, the reason that students are getting this credit is because we have a memo of understanding. So every school district in Texas has an MOU, a memo of understanding, with probably the community college district in there that's close to them, or maybe one of the universities. And that's the way it is here for us in San Antonio. We have a memorandum of understanding with the Alamo City College District. So all of those schools, and then also with UTSA. And Tony, you said something about A&M?
Yeah, so Texas A&M San Antonio will be entering that agreement in the year 2021.
Okay, so we have a little ways to go for that. But what this means is that if a student, is successful on three of the essays that are required in the second semester, and we'll talk a little bit about that later. If they are successful with a 75 and then make a 75 in the class, then they automatically receive that TSI exemption. So that means that it's like a waiver. So they don't have to retake the TSI. And they should be put into the regular English composition course as freshmen. So that's kind of the way that works. But it is a memorandum of understanding. And, you know, when Dr. Wood signs it, which he does every year, that means that we are agreeing to certain things.
Okay. So, Tony, can you talk to us a little bit about what those requirements are? Because we do have to meet these very specific criteria that the college has asked us to fulfill.
Right. So the memorandum of understanding asks students to write three essays in the second semester. The first one is an argumentative research essay. The second one is a timed write over a prompt that is persuasive or argumentative in nature. And then the last one is a reflection on their portfolio writing. How have I grown as a writer? What have I learned through this process? And the student needs to earn a 75 or higher on each of those essays in order to get the endorsement for the memorandum. And that what's unique about that is because we have this agreement, the final draft that's turned in on a specific due date is the final grade. You cannot go back and change that grade for the MOU.
Okay. And I think what's really tricky too is that, for example, like on that time writing, it's not something that kids get to see the prompt in advance, that they get to practice in advance. It's sort of a cold write. You know, they have to get it right the first time.
Yeah. So one of the things we did to help really make sure students are ready for that is in the first semester, there are two essays. There's a college essay and there's a compare and contrast essay. Those aren't part of the MOU, but those are part of the district curriculum. And not only those, students should be having many writing opportunities along the way, getting feedback from teachers, peers, all those good writing things that should be happening in the classroom in order to prepare kids for those more high stakes essays in the second semester.
I mean, I know you taught the class, Barbara, but yeah. I think that one of the mind shifts has to be that this is really a writing class with some literature thrown in rather than this is a Brit Lit class with some writing
thrown in.
I think that's probably the biggest adjustment teachers are going to need to make.
Yeah, for sure. I know when I taught the class, I think that was one of the biggest challenges. As we said, I've got some of these British Lit requirements where I'm supposed to do some kind of survey of British Lit, but I'm also supposed to be having kids read and write in this particular way. I need my kids to be really familiar with all of these different writing modes. And so when we're trying to balance that, it was hard to understand what that meant for me on a day-to-day basis as the classroom teacher. So what would you recommend for how you balance those kinds of requirements? I mean, what are the priorities I should be thinking about in the class?
So I would say you want to think about the literature as a way to start talking about ideas of the time and language use of the time. And just like any other discipline, you're going to do some research, whether you're a director or a scientist or making music, you're going to do some research about the history of your craft. And that's what the literature is meant to do. Where were those ideas then? Where are they now? As someone entering in 2019, entering this discussion, what new things can I say about these ideas? How are they affecting me now? And then how can I write about those things in an articulate manner for my audience?
Okay. So what would be an example, like if we were talking about that first unit in English 4, the Anglo-Saxon unit? What would be an example of how I might balance that? So I might take the literature, but then I'm thinking about it through the lens of these big ideas of the time period, or I'm thinking about it through this lens of the language and the how this sort of evolved over time, because there's so many changes happening in that time period, right?
Right. I think the focus is less on Beowulf as a hero and the hero's journey, because frankly, that is something that students have been exposed to. You know, by the time they're seniors, they understand that piece. What's specific about Beowulf is exactly as you say, the evolution of our language, the fact that it was actually a Germanic language. A lot of the words that came from Old English are still in our lexicon, and they definitely create a special tone when you write with those. So I think that kind of looking at it, changing your lens of how you look at the literature is going to be your key to spending the right amount of time with it, and also kind of what are we getting from it?
Yeah. So, you know, if you're reading as a writer, what are the ideas? How are they using language to express those ideas? And how can I take those tools and those ideas and express them in a new way as a writer?
And sometimes this means their ideas, their themes, and other times it's just looking at how language has evolved and how it's being used and the effect of the audience. It really does become a more critical lens that you're looking at these things through.
And one of the things you want to do to help kids see the connections is use text sets. You want to bring in some nonfiction that really talks through those ideas. You might want to bring in some poetry or some short stories that are thematically linked so that kids can, you can help kids make those connections as they're diving into these complex ideas.
for example, that first year, I remember one of the college prep teachers brought in text sets about football during Beowulf and kind of made connections. And then that led to students writing about football and, you know, some of the things that go along with the sort of hyper-masculinity and sort of aggression. And so that was a nice way to approach it. I mean, it's not the only way, of course, but just being cognizant of the fact that students are going to need to be writing in sort of real world ways, like you said earlier, not preparing them to be English majors,
right?
But really preparing them for what kind of challenges they're going to face in their college career and beyond.
Okay. And I have to say, I think all of that is a really challenging task for English teachers to do, because I think so many of us have been trained to teach Beowulf just from the perspective of the literature and the idea of Beowulf as the hero and thinking about kennings or thinking about the different imagery and the themes and sort of looking at it in a really traditional sense of the literary criticism of the piece.
For example, if you know, moving ahead into like the Romantic period and thinking about the lovely poetry, well, for our college prep class, you might be more focused on the themes of nature and how those ideas of that time resonate for us as we look at climate change. Mm-hmm. So it's just going to be using the literature as a springboard and then really thinking about what are the big ideas, what are the ways the language is being used, and then how can that inform our young writers mm-hmm. as they are moving on from high school.
Right.
I've been working on adding some curricular resources to help teachers kind of navigate this thinking. So one of the things is some more text sets that might help you see some ways to connect the literature to some current events. Another thing is some possible assessments you might be able to use to make sure you're covering the writing as well as the reading. And then updating the ag so there's a little bit more time for writing instruction, because that is the way we're moving instead of in the direction of heavy lit-based instruction.
And I can definitely attest to the fact that Tony's working his fingers to the bone to try to make some resources that are really accessible for you guys. I think you're going to be very happy with what he and the team are creating. That said, we're going to make sure that we are available to you to come in and help you in your classrooms. We're going to be making sure that we have PD that is geared toward this particular class. And, you know, we may be doing some pullouts even. So we're really enthusiastic about this course. It's the best thing for kids. It is something that has a huge payoff and prepares them for the future. So we want to do everything in our power in our office to ensure that it is it's a success.
Teachers, one additional resource that we have for you is going to be episode 3 of this podcast, which is going to come hot on the heels of episode 2. And in that episode, we're going to dive deep into some of the units that you're teaching in this college prep course, just to give you a sense for what all of that means as far as your day-to-day work and your planning and your instruction. So stay tuned for episode 3. We promise we've got more content coming your way.
You got something there you can work with? Oh, you're still going?
Yes, because episode three, hot on the heels of episode 2, coming at you.
Boom.
Boom.